My scripture reading is in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians and the second chapter, and starting with the 13th verse. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these good words of encouragement. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this Sabbath. We thank you for that day that you've given to us for rest and for reflection on your creation and your wonderful works. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you bless these words and bless the thoughts. And give them to us. Let us receive them as you would have them. And Heavenly Father, we ask all these things in the name of your loving Son, Jesus Christ. And amen. My text is in the verse 13 of my 2 Thessalonians 2. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. A couple of weeks ago, we had a message on 1 Thessalonians. And today, we follow it up with 2 Thessalonians. And that's my message to you, is that we are going to study and see what 2 Thessalonians has to give to us. 2 Thessalonians was probably written in that same year as 1 Thessalonians, in AD 54. And no doubt it was written very quickly after the first one, probably in the amount of time that it took a messenger to carry the first letter to the Thessalonians and then to come back with a report. So this letter was to instruct the Thessalonians concerning the day of the Lord. And of course, the day of the Lord is an expression that is all through the Bible, primarily the New Testament. And the day of the Lord referring to that day that Jesus Christ, Yeshua of Nazareth, returns to this earth in power and glory, and to rule and reign as King and King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It was to instruct them about this and the immediate events that occur prior to that day. That is the period that we know as the 7 years of tribulation, the tribulation period. I would like to go to 1 Thessalonians 4 and start at 16 to give a background. It seems that the Thessalonians
may have come to believe that the persecutions and the afflictions that they were now enduring were those just prior to his coming. In other words, it appears that they come to believe that they were in that period, that tribulation period, because of the afflictions and persecutions that were coming to their way at this time. And so they appeared to be reacting in that kind of understanding. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16, we read, and of course, part of what we read, naturally, this was delivered to the Thessalonians by Paul and the ones that were with him in establishing that church. So they had knowledge from Paul, as we would have, concerning the events and circumstances at the particular time of the second coming of the Lord. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." This was given to the Thessalonians church. This was in his first letter to them. So they had knowledge of this. Now let's go to Mark 13. And we will see other scriptures that no doubt they would have had knowledge of these scriptures as Paul established the church and then left them. And of course he was, as we said before, he was always concerned about the churches that he established and the brothers and sisters there, and concerned about their welfare and concerned about their spiritual being, that they were growing in the Lord. And so the Thessalonians would have known these scriptures and words as we read in Mark 13. And really, it's encompasses the verses all the way from verse 5 to 27. But let's go to 13 and 24. "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth the angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds and from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven." These are the events in that period of time that I'm talking about. You can see how the Thessalonians would have been concerned about what was going on. Let's go back and start somewhere in the neighborhood of 13 and 5. "And Jesus began to say to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name saying, I am he, and will mislead many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. These things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These merely things are merely the beginning of birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be flogged in the synagogues. And you will stand before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them. The gospel must first be preached to all the nations. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. The one who is on the housetop must not go down or go in to get anything out of his house, and the one who is in the field must not turn back to get his coat. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, but pray that it may not happen in the winter. For those days will be a time of tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the creation, which God created until now and never will. Unless the Lord had shortened those days, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Those are words written in Mark, and I'm sure Paul relayed these on to the Thessalonians. They knew what the tribulation was going to be like. They knew the horrible events and the occurrences in nature that was going to take place. But they were mainly concerned in connecting their persecutions and their afflictions, which they were now going through as a newly established Christian church. And because of Paul's ministry, they were probably thinking that these afflictions and persecutions was part of this period. And so Paul heard about this in his report from them. And so the letter was addressing partly that concern. Paul, however, reminds them in chapter 2 and tries to correct the situation. When we go to chapter 2 in 2 Thessalonians, verse 1, Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come. Now listen to this. He says, for it, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the apostasy or the lawless one comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Paul is letting them know that certain things have to take place before this notable day of the Lord. The day shall not come unless, in verses 5, do you not remember that while I was with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. That man of sin is what he's talking about. The lawless one, the one that comes and proclaims himself to be God, the deceiver. And he sits in the temple of God proclaiming this. Paul comforts them with the words that is in the verse 5 and 6. And then the ultimate punishment is let known in verses 7. Let's go to there. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only who he now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. Paul is trying to set them straight, trying to let them know certain events has to take place. You're not at that point yet. And so this is what you need to look to. And we want to go to chapter 2 and then verse 9. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan and with all the power and signs and false wonders and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. The ones that are at that particular living at that particular time are going to not receive salvation because they didn't receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. That's part of the end time events. The majority is going to be deceived. They are going to be led astray. They're going to believe what is false because they would not receive and accept the truth so as to be saved. In order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. Do you see? This is why they reject the truth. Because they love their own lifestyle. They get caught up in their lifestyle and the wickedness, and they take pleasure in it. The Lord, however, is always... Let's go to chapter 3. And verse 3 tells us the Lord is always faithful. And He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. The Lord, no matter what is going on, He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. If anyone would respond to Him, He's always faithful. He always will be there for you and therefore establish you. And He will always not only be there, faithful, establishing you, but He will keep you from the evil one. We have in verse 6, it tells us what to withdraw from. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you received from us. Should you withdraw from certain people after you become a Christian? Should you withdraw perhaps from some in your church as a brother or sister? Yes, this is saying you should. If they are unruly and do not live their life according to the traditions that the Bible teaches and that Paul brought to the Thessalonians. Let's see what, go down to verse 14. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him, so that he will be put to shame. But yet it qualifies it with the next verse. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So this is a brother that we're talking about. If that brother is going to live an unruly life, not according to the principles of God's word, then we're supposed to separate ourselves from him. But we are not to regard him as an enemy, but to admonish him to change his ways and restore him as a brother. For, let's go to verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. Because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship, we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden on any of you. Do you see Paul's manner and the ones that was with him? Paul and Timothy. And Silvanus was the three that 2 Thessalonians notes in the very first verse, who were sending these words and who helped establish that church in Thessalonia. In verse 10, let's go to verse 10. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. Do you see the principles given? This is in your Bible. This is a principle of Paul to the Thessalonians. Verse 11. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Do you see what he's saying here? Some of you thought this is the end time, and so you're just going to eat, drink, and be merry or whatever. But Paul is saying, no, this is not that case. Certain things have to happen before that day. And regardless of that fact, you are to lead a disciplined life, not unruly. Not going about as busybodies in other people's affairs and scattering gossip that you don't know is true. But you need to be disciplined in holding your tongue about matters that you do not know for sure about. And you are to work. Work. Make an honest living. Support your family. Live a disciplined life. according to the principles of God's work, according as we came to you and showed you how it should be done. We didn't come to be a burden on you and to cause you any extra problems. We showed you how we should be, how Christian people should be. We set an example, and we did that by working day and night. And preaching and teaching and showing you what God's Word says for you. In verse 12, to them, now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. Paul is saying, discipline yourself. Live in God's discipline. Do your work. Make your own bread. Make your own way. But live a godly life, a disciplined godly life, according to what we have brought to you. I'll close with Paul's reminders of God's plan for each of us and for our lives and for those Thessalonians. Let's go to chapter 2 and verse 13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. The message of 2 Thessalonians. Encouragement to the brothers and sisters there, but letting them know of the end time, of the tribulation period, of the things that to look for during that period, the man of sin, the lawless one to be revealed, that will come, no doubt. Almost everyone in the world will know that He comes, that He exists. He sets Himself up in Jerusalem at the end time, at the last of the tribulation period. And He will proclaim that He is God. And He will be set up in the temple. And He will proclaim that He is God Himself. He will do many miraculous wonders and signs so as to bring fire down from heaven to deceive people, to deceive, if it were possible, even the elect. But the words let us know that God will not let that happen and that He will come on the scene, because if He didn't, it would pretty well mean the end of all life at that time. But for the elect's sake, He's going to shorten the time. And that's when the day of the Lord will be. And Jesus Himself will appear on the scene and will put a stop to the man of sin, the lawless one, that's described in these verses. So Thessalonians and you are not to think that just because you are at the present time enduring troubles and problems and afflictions, temptations, that Jesus is about to break through the clouds. Our scripture lets us know, even at this one particular place in the Bible, that certain things have to occur in a certain specific order before that time. But we should always, as Jesus proclaimed to his followers, watch. Be ready. Because you never know the moment that is going to be the last breath that you take. I would like to go and let's repeat together our blessing from God. If you would stand, and the Almighty Yahweh of the universe says for us to proclaim this and repeat this to each other. And this is Numbers 6 and 24. Let's repeat together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face on you and give you peace. Isn't that wonderful? Bow your heads with me. Heavenly